Okay, good morning, everybody, and a gesunte winter. Today's daf is Beitza Daf Lamed. We left off on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis. We are at the mission of the new Perek, the fourth Perek of Maseches Beitza. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. The mission is going to talk about carrying things on Yom Tov in a unique way in order to lessen the burden of the carrying, and then the Gemara is going to discuss unusual ways of carrying, what that entails, what that involves to carry in an unusual type of way. Then the Gemara is going to go into a number of cases where people were doing things that were really not right, but Rebbe didn't object because we have a principle called Hanach Lem Li Yisrael, that sometimes you have to leave the Jewish people alone, let them do what they do. Mutav Shiyu Shogeg V'Alyu Mazidin, better to leave them be Shogeg rather than for them to do B'Mazid because they have such a drive to do these things. They're not going to listen anyway. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how whether our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon with regards to Muktzah, and then we're going to have a Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis that's going to talk about, of all things, removing wood from a hut without violating Soser, which of course is going to lead to a discussion of taking down a sukkah, of removing, by the way, my sukkah was down by 9 p.m. last night, I do mean to brag, but removing wood from a sukkah and getting Hanah from the Atzei HaSukkah. The Gemara is going to talk about the muktzah status of the sukkah and its decorations becoming huktzah l'mitzvah. So, and at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about the difference between muktzah of an esrog and the muktzah of a sukkah. So, a lot of dafyomi coincidences, and probably the biggest one I didn't even mention just now. So, let's get into it. Says the Mishnah, "Hamevi kada yayin mimakom l'makom." If a person brings jugs of wine from one place to another place inside the tchum, or with the use of an erev tchum, and normally you're not allowed to go mimakom l'makom, but let's assume that that's not an issue, that the tchum Shabbos is not an issue. So lo yaviim besal uvekupa. He should not bring them when there are three or four kadim together in put it in one basket or in one big box, because that appears to be a maisa chol that you're not bringing a letzorich yom tov. That looks like you're going to bring for more long term needs, or you're going to bring it for commerce, for mekach umemkar. Aval maybe hu al ksefo, but you could bring one or two jugs of wine on your shoulders, olefanav, or in holding it in front of you in your hands, because that looks like what you bring. Letzorich yom tov. You go to somebody's house and you're carrying a bottle of wine, so it looks like you're about to enjoy a meal with them and you're bringing a bottle of wine. You carry a case of wine, it looks like that you're supplying them with wine for the future. So a person is should bring on Yom Tov in a way that appears that you're just taking wine that you're going to use for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov when you're transporting it mi makom lemakom. V'chein amolech hasateven. And similarly, when one is moving straw to help light an oven, straw is like the match that they would use. It's a flammable material, so it'll quickly light the fire. It's obviously not great for fuel. The wood would be used for the fuel, but the straw would get the fire going. Or they would be used for animals. Lo yavshilas hakupa la'achorav. You shouldn't lower the box of straw behind you, meaning the way that you would carry it during a weekday, because that's a genai to Yom Tov. It looks like you're trying to do a significant labor, which is not letzorich Yom Tov, or you're trying to travel a great distance, which is something that you would do during a weekday. Avul mavia ubiyado, but you can bring some straw in your hand, because that's the way that in that way, it's evident that you're doing it letzorich Yom Tov. So once we learn that you're allowed to move Teven on Yom Tov using a shinoi, so the Tana tells us that which types of bundles of Teven you're allowed to begin to use without a concern for Muktzah. Meaning up until now, we haven't really been discussing Muktzah. We've been discussing Zilzul Yom Tov and carrying in a way that looks like it's more of a weekday type of carrying. But now we're going to discuss, but if you're accessing straw, there's a Muktzah issue to contend with as well. So maschilin ba'rei masateven, you can begin a new bundle of wood, a new pile of wood, for the sake of using it for fire, even if you did not designate it before Yom Tov, and you don't normally light from there. So sounds like from the simple reading of this Mishnah that whoever the Tana is in this line of the Mishnah does not hold of Muktzah. Avalo be'etzim shuba muktzah. You're not supposed to use etzim from the Muktzah. The Muktzah is the what they would have like a backyard, which wasn't typically used. They would use the front yard. That was the chatzer. That's what they would use for all their outdoor needs. The backyard was like long-term storage. So from the backyard, the which was called the muktzah, and the reason it was called the muktzah was because it was designated to set aside as something that they would only go to once every long while. It was not something that they would go into, that they would enter bikvius. So that's where they would put firewood and anything that they wouldn't want to use for a very long time. It was their long-term storage facility. So that we assume is muktzah midaito. You have no plans on using it, and that's why it's aser mishum muktzah. So the Gemara is obviously going to ask the kasha. Wait a second, you just got through telling me you're allowed to be maschil ba'aremes ha'teven, which sounds like there's no issur of muktzah. Now the very next line in the Mishnah, you're telling me that you're not allowed to bring from the backyard, because presumably because there is an issur of muktzah. So before we get to that, Tana, the Braisa tells us that halacha lemaisa on the first din in the Mishnah, that you're not supposed to bring kadayayin in a sal and in a kupa, you have to do it with a shinoi, that im e efshal l'shanos mutter, if it's not possible to carry with a shinoi, you have so many guests and you need a lot of wine, so just to provide for the guests, so you don't have to wait until you don't want to keep the guests waiting until you schlep one bottle at a time and you just carry it like this, like you bring a bottle as if you're carrying one bottle like you would normally bring to someone's house. No, you're allowed to carry it all at one time in order to not keep the guests waiting. Magen Avraham writes in Siman Tavkuf Yud that even guests from that same city are considered guests as far as this is concerned. The Machzor Shekel explains, what do you mean even guests from the same city? Why would guests from the same city not be considered guests? So he says, because the Ramah writes in Shin Lamed Gimel Sif Aleph that Orchim from the same city are not considered Orchim as far as qualifying the Su'uda as a Su'udas Mitzvah. But over here, where you've already invited them for Kavod Abrios, the Chashivas of the Orchim, you're allowed to do this. Meaning we often think of Hachnasas Orchim as any time we have someone who's not from our nuclear family at our table, that's Hachnasas Orchim. So the Ramah says, not true. That's hanging out with your friends, which is nice. It's good to hang out with your friends. Nothing wrong with that. But Hachnasas Orchim is you're providing for people who don't have another place. They're coming from out of town and they need somewhere to be. So that's Hachnasas Orchim. You provide them a place to be. That's the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. But over here, since you've already invited these guests, even if they're from your own community, you're allowed to schlep boxes full of wine and boxes full of wine bottles because you don't want to keep them waiting for the kavod of the Orchim, for the kavod abrios. So we said that when you carry, you have to carry in an unusual way in order that it shouldn't be like a maisa chol. So the Gemara says along those same lines, iskin Rava b'machoza, Rava made a takana in the city of Machoza that everything that they would carry during the weekday was in a certain way. So he made a takana not to carry on Yom Tov in that way. And the way it played out was as follows. Didaru beduchka, those who normally carry things on their shoulders, with they carry a heavy burden on their shoulders, when they carry on Yom Tov, like a barrel or a sack that's full of peros, lidru beragla, they should use a ragla, which is a certain type of wood, that a branch of wood that comes to a V at the end, and they would tie two people's worth of burden to the end of it, and they would carry it, and you would put your shoulders in between the two parts of the V, and that way it was on both of your shoulders, and the burden was on the end, it's like a Y. The burden was on the stick of the Y, and that's how they would carry it. And that way it would lighten the burden a little bit, because it would spread out the burden over the weight, it would spread out the weight over both of one's shoulders. Didaru beragla, if a person would normally carry that way, so when you carry on Yom Tov, lidru ba'agra, then you should carry using two people. You know, didaru ba'agra, if you normally carry with a stick that's going over the shoulder, that goes over two people's shoulders, and that's how it distributes the weight, lidru ba'achba, then they carry with an achba, with both of them carrying the stick in their hands, even though that's not a shinoi lahakel, that doesn't make it lighter, that makes it heavier, but apparently more important that it should be a shinoi than that it should be a shinoi lahakel, meaning you would imagine if there's a stick that's being held by two people, much easier for them to keep it on their shoulders and carry it that way than for them to hold it by hand in a chinami, but you got to do a shinoi, and if that's the only way to do a shinoi, so then you carry the stick by hand. Achba, if you have two people carrying the stick in their hand, Nifra Sudra Yilavei, meaning if that's how you normally do, so then what you should do is, on Yantif, you should be Nifra Sudra Yilavei. You should cover the barrel with a cloth, because that doesn't make the burden any heavier, and it's a Shinui, so it's the best way to make a Shinui. Vimlo Efshar, and if you can't do these Shinuyim, Shari, then you're allowed to bring everything without a Shinui. Tamar, Imi Efshar L'Shanos Mutter, because after all, that's the first price that we said, that if it's Yevshar L'Shanos, if there's no way to carry using a Shinui, so then it's Mutter, so if you have to schlep a significant amount of things from one place to the other, technically, you should do a Shinui, but if you can't, it's going to be mutter to carry in that way. Amalei Rav Chanan bar Rava l'Rav Ashi, Amar Rabbanon, the Efshal l'Shinui Mishaninon b'Yomatova. The Rabbanon said that as much as you're able to be Mishana from the way you do things during the week, you should do so on Yom Tov. You should be Mishana on Yom Tov to make it nicker that you're not doing this the way you would do during the week. V'ahani Nashi, the Kamalian Chatzbayu Maya. But there are these women that fill up their barrels or their jugs with water from the river b'Yomatov on Yom Tov. V'loka Mishaninon, they don't do any sort of Shinui. V'lo Amrinu Luhu Velo Midi, and no one objects, no one says anything to them, no one stops them. The Toldos Yaakov explains that, why is he asking the question from Amur Rabbanon, right? That Amur Rabbanon Kamedev Shalishnuye Mishaninan, that as much as you could be Mishana, you should try to be Mishana. The Kasha is because the meaning, why don't they just say that you're supposed to be Mishana from the fact that the Mishnah says you're supposed to be Mishana? Why is it Amur Rabbanon? So the Kasha is because the Takana was in a place where it's Iyafshal Lekalapachos, you have to be Pori Sudar. So why don't we say anything to them that Lekalapachos do a little Shinu? Meaning there's no one that's really Iyafshal Lishanos. There's no one that's really unable to be Mishana. Everyone is able to be Mishana because all it takes is take a piece of cloth, take a plastic tablecloth, and put it over the barrels that you're schlepping, and that's a good enough Shinui. So why don't we say something to them? So Gemara says, Amalei, Rav Ashi responded, you don't say anything to them because they don't need to be Mishana Mishum to Lo Efshar, because there's no real possibility to be Mishana. Hey Chilavid, what do you want them to do? Demalia Bechatz Barabba, Demalia Bechatz Bazuta? You want them, if they're filling up with big, they normally fill up with large vessels with water. So now you want these women who are drawing water, if I could ask everyone to mute themselves, if they normally fill up large barrels of water, to now fill up smaller barrels of water, Kamafsha Behilucha, then they're going to have to take more trips, so it's going to be a greater tircha on Yom Tov. So being Mishana is not going to minimize the burden, it's going to make the burden even greater. Temali b'chatz bezuta, if a person fills with small kelim, temali b'chatz b'rabba, so what are you going to do? You're going to tell them to start filling with larger kelim? Kamafshi b'masli, that's going to cause the burden to be heavier, and it's going to make the burden even greater on Yom Tov. So if you're going to tell a woman techasya b'nachtama, that she should take a piece of wood and cover up the kad that she's schlepping, zimna d'nafal vasilusiyeh. Sometimes whatever you cover with, whatever she may cover the jugs with, is going to fall, and she's going to come to be metaltal the kisu in rishus rabim shalol letzorech, and that's going to be a violation of carrying for no reason. Tikatre, so what do you want to do? Tie the kisu on so that it won't fall in the first place. Zimna d'mafsik. Sometimes the knot will become undone. Vasilimitre, then you'll come to tie it, that it shouldn't fall, and Kesha, that's also Iliskayim, is an Av Malacha, and it's also, you know, a lot of be kosher Ksharim on Yom Tov. Someone asked me yesterday if they could, as Simchas Yom Tov, they can make balloon animals on Yom Tov. So I think, no, you have to tie the end of the balloon, so that's a Kesha Shalkei. I mean, you're not allowed to make a Kesha like that, and you're also not allowed to, probably you're not allowed to shape it like that either. Tifrul Sudri Lavei, should we, L'Kol HaPachos, cover the jug with a cloth, and even though it's not a shinui that makes the burden any easier to carry, it's only done letznius bialma, so zimnin de mitmishna, but sometimes the cloth that you cover, they were schlepping water, these women that were schlepping on Yom Tov, sometimes the cloth would fall into the water, de mitmish b'mayav v'asil de shmita. And once you wet a cloth on Yom Tov, you don't want to do something that's going to wet a cloth on Yom Tov, because that's going to be asur de shchita. Because if you wet a cloth, the natural thing you're going to do is you're going to want to squeeze out the water from the cloth, and that's a violation of the isur of shchita, which you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. So hilkach lo efshar. So in that case, it's therefore lo efshar. It's considered to be something impossible. So Tosfos raises the question: what do you mean? We said before nifra surji lave, and we weren't choshish that it's going to come to shchita. So Tosfos suggests that we must have been speaking before, where you have a chavis that the opening is very narrow, and there's no cheshash that the cover is going to get soaking wet, is going to fall in and get wet. Or Tosfos says dafka by mayim, there's a cheshash of shchita because shchita is asur mishum libun, whereas previously we were talking about a chavis of yayin where there's no cheshash mishum malabin, meaning shchita could be asur for one of two reasons. There's either shchita mishum dash or there's shchita mishum melabin. Shchita mishum dash is only when what you're squeezing out is going to be usable, because dash is that you're pulling out something that's absorbed within something else so that you can access it and use it. Shchita mishum melabin is when you are using a liquid to clean a fabric, so you squeeze out the liquid from the fabric and that cleans the fabric. That's how we wash things. You have a dirty piece of clothing, you wet it in, you put it in water and soap and detergent or whatever, and then your washing machine, or if you're washing by hand, you yourself squeeze that water out, and hopefully all the dirt that was in there also comes out together with the water. That's Shechita Mishum Alabin. So the Rishonim point out, Shechita Mishum Alabin doesn't apply to Shar Mashkim. Shechita Mishum Alabin only applies to water. Because if you have wine in your clothing, that's not a Derech Libun. That's not how you would wash your clothing with wine. Adarabba, that dirties your clothing. That makes your clothing dirtier. So that's not Shechita Mishum Alabin. So that's what those suggest. Maybe previously when we said, yeah, cover the barrels with cloth, and they weren't worried about Shechita, was because the Shechita we were concerned about was Mishum Malabin, and there's no issue of Malabin when you're dealing with wine. But these women were going to the river to get water. So then there's a concern of Shechita. That's the Pashtus, one of the major problems. Other than the obvious Zilzal Shabbos and Zilzal Yantif, why a person's not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos Yantif. Sometimes people say, people always assume that you're not allowed to go swimming because you're going to come to build a raft if you go swimming. So a lot of times kids have a hard time with that. I never built a raft in my life. I'm not going to build a raft. So aside from the fact that when Dinim D'Rabbanan are made, they apply whether the reason applies or doesn't apply. We'll get to that today a little bit also. But that's not the real reason, because once you're in a kli that's surrounded by clear walls, probably the gzera of the raft doesn't apply anyway. But you're not allowed to go with a bathing suit. You're not allowed to wet clothing on. So you can go to a mikveh maybe. Okay, this is what to talk about. You can go to a mikveh on Shabbos. I mean, you can go to a mikveh. Question whether you can go to a hot mikveh on Shabbos. Probably not. I mean, it depends. It depends on a lot of things. But are you a man? Are you a woman? How hot is it? How is it? Okay, but there's a whole discussion about going to a mikvah on Shabbos. That the post can discuss. People don't go to the mikvah wearing a bathing suit. You go in a bathing suit, that's asur mishum shchita. It's a cheshash of shchita. What do people do as soon as they get out of the swimming pool? You ever stay by the pool deck? The kids will start squeezing out their bathing suit. That's exactly what they do to dry off their bathing suit a little bit. So l'chara, that, and that's water, that's mayim. So anyway, so over here with these women, they couldn't say anything to them because there was nothing else for them to do. So amar le rava bar rav chanin la Abaye, Rava says to Rava Bar Chan, Rav Chanan says to Abaye, Tana, and you know the Mishnah says, Ein Metabchin, you're not supposed to clap, Ve'ein Mesabkin, nor are you supposed to clap your hand on your thigh on Shabbos or Yom Tov, Ve'ein Meraktin, and you don't dance on Yom Tov. And the reason is because of Gzera Shami Yisakein, Klishir, Va'idna, and nowadays, Bismaneinu, the Kachazin and the Avdanachi, we see that people do this all the time, V'lo'amrinu V'lo'amidi, and no one says anything, no one tries to stop all the clapping and the dancing that goes on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we'll get to this in a second. So Amar Leiv L'Taimeich. So he says, according to you, that you have to make a macha'a, I have bigger kashas. Hada Amar Rabba Lo Leisevin Shapuma Delachia, that a person should not sit by the entrance of the mavoi, that if there's no korah over the mavoi, where the lechi in the place where the lechi is kavur there, because Dilma Minagdar, because maybe Lechefetz, maybe an object will roll out of the mavoi, and he's not going to realize realize that it's that to bring it back in is bringing from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Vasi L'Suyin is going to come to bring it back in. So Vahani Nashi to Shaklan Chatzbayu. But there are these women that take their bottles of water, Vazan V'Yasun Apuma de Mavua, and they sit right by the entrance where the Mavu V'Lo Armini L'Vlamidi, and no one says a word to them. Ella, so in all these cases, Hanachlam Yisrael Mutzv Shoshogin Value Mazidin, we have an attitude that it's better to leave the Jewish people to be shogeg rather than to be mazid. Better for them to violate the Yisrael Shogeg when they're not going to hear it to that it's aser, because then they're just going to violate b'mazid. So you don't say anything to them that they sit by the Pesach Hamavui. So Achanami, in your case also, Hanachlam Yisrael Mutzv Shoshogin Value Mazidin. You want to know why it is that people that even though in Mesapkin and Merakdin, you're not supposed to clap, you're not supposed to dance, you're not supposed to do any of these things. Nevertheless, Mutav Shu Shogin, Value Mezidin. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Simshin Lamates, Sivkat Ches, that on Simchas Torah, it's Mutav L'Chaladeos to be Merakid and Mesapek. You know, on Simchas Torah, L'Chaladeos, it's Mutav, because that's the Kavra Torah. It's Zafka, Lirko, Limchas Kapayim, to be the Matir, but not to ring bells or other things or to use any other sorts of instruments. So he said, the Mishnah Berurah writes, it's kedai to be makbid that if you have the crowns on the Torah that have bells, you have to take them off when you dance, because it's a shaila why you're allowed to have them at all, but we're allowed to have them generally on Shabbos Yontif when you're just carrying the Torah, but when you're dancing with the Torah, it's going to make a lot of noise. He suggests that you should take them off of the Torah. So the Mishnah Berurah explains why it's mutter normally, even though the mashmiya kol, that he says that the idea is that why do they put bells on the top of a Sefer Torah? My Indian bells ate till Sefer Torah. So the point is that when the Sefer Torah is moving, everyone is supposed to know to stand. So sometimes the person is they're having so much focus on their sitter that they don't know that the Torah is moving. So they're going to hear the bells and it's going to wake them up a little bit, and then they'll realize that that the Torah is moving and that they're going to stand up. In the Shemir Shabbos, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that Tzorich Iyun, whether Bizmanenu, it's mutter to be mashmiya kol with the bells on the Sefer Torah, because l'chora people stand anyway, and they only do it. I mean, that's not the purpose of the bells nowadays. Now it's just l'kavanat Torah that they make a very nice top of the Sefer Torah. However, in Rav Ozner, in the Shevet Alevi, writes that the poskim discuss using the bells on the Sefer Torah. That's only with large bells, not the kinds that we use in our Sefer Torah. There's such tiny bells in our Sefer Torah; they barely really make any noise. He didn't think that that's a violation of Hashma Askal Bichlal. That's all part of that same Isser. Now, what about clapping and dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So it is pretty explicit in the Gemara that you're not supposed to do it. But if you ever daven at any Hasidish shul, so it's that's a big deal. The clapping and the dancing is always done. So there are a variety of heterim. One of the heterim is Mishnah Berurah said for Simchas Torah it's mutter. Why? Because Letzorach Kavanat Torah. So whenever something is Letzorach Mitzvah and it's going to enhance Letzorach Mitzvah, so then you're allowed to do things that are Letzorach Mitzvah. For dancing in particular, even in the non-Chassidish places, I once spent Shabbos in Shalavim, and I was surprised by Kabbalah Shabbos. They dance around the whole Beis Medrash. The whole yeshiva danced around the whole Beis Medrash. So I said, what's the occasion? I assumed it was like something unusual. They said, no, every Shabbos, Kabbalah Shabbos, we dance around the entire Beis Medrash. So the heterim that the poskim discuss when it comes to dancing is we don't really dance. Jews walk in a circle. They don't dance. There's a difference between walking in a circle and dancing. So dancing is when you're really on some Simchas Torah, people dance. You know, when the fellows from the Ohel came, you know, those guys were dancing. You know, so there's a difference between dancing and walking in a circle. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama writes that even though you're not supposed to clap and dance on Shabbos, ain mochin biyadam, because it was straight from the Gemara. You're not supposed to make a macha either. You're not supposed to say anything when people do it. So you don't do it, but you also don't say anything when people do it. So okay, Rav Belsky's Zichrono Livracha held that certainly by Kabbalah Shabbos there's much more room to be mekel. That by Kabbalah Shabbos it's only been a shmashos to begin with. The whole thing is only nisid rabbanon. It might be considered the tzorach mitzvah. There's Rabbeinu Chananel in the Sechas Baba Kama,
The Gemara in Baba Kama says, "Bol likros Shabbos Malchusa," that we should go and greet Shabbos Malchusa. So Rabbi Chanan over there says that Rabbi Chia, I think it was, used to be merakeid to go greet Shabbos Malchusa, that he would dafka dance by Kabbalah Shabbos. So it could be that Kabbalah Shabbos is dafka an inyan that over there, the since it's still ben Hashmashos, and there's a source for it in you have to understand Rabbi Chananel in the among the Rishonim, he's viewed as like one of the most authoritative of all the Rishonim. They view him as Kol Dvar of Divrei Kabbalah. Everything Rabbi Chananel says is Kodesh Kadashim in the Rishonim. So Rabbi Chananel says it explicitly that they would dance by Kabbalah Shabbos. So Kabbalah Shabbos, it could be that there's much more room to be makel on all of these things than when it comes to other times. Okay, so now the Gemara says, "Vahani mili, this klal that you don't make a macha, that you leave people alone and you let them do what they do. That's only b'drabanan. Aval b'daraisa lo, but by a daraisa you don't say mutav shiushogim volume is eden. You have to let them know that they're doing something wrong." Then the Gemara says, "Velohi, not true. Lo shem b'daraisa, lo shem b'drabanan. Lo amrinu lo midi. Whether it's a daraisa drabanan, we don't say anything. Mutav shiushogim volume is eden." So the Gemara brings a riot. Tosefes yom kippurim daraisa. He the din of tosefes yom kippurim is a din d'oraisa, so that you need to be mosif onto Yom Kippur, va'achli v'shasu ad shechashecha, and these women that we're talking about that would sit by the entrance of the mavui with their barrels and that would schlep the barrels of water on, you know, all these things that they would, and that would clap and dance, all these women that would do all of these things, they would also continue to eat and drink up until chashecha on Erev Yom Kippur. They didn't start the fast early. V'lo amrinu v'lo midi, and no one says anything to them. So apparently, even on a din d'oraisa, it's ein mochin biyadam. The assumption is that the reason that there would be a chiluk between the daraisa and the darabanan is that they're not really shogegin if it's a daraisa. That if it's that's what the poskim say, that if it's mefurish bekra, then for sure you can't say mutzav shiu shogegin because they're not shogegin. Everyone knows what it says in the psukim, so you can't assume that they're shogeg if it's mefurish bekra. So you assume that they know what it says in the psukim and they're doing it anyway. So they're already mezidin. So you have to tell them. Yeah, then you have a mitzvah vocheach tochiach. Then the Mishnah said, "Maschilin baremes hateven," that you're allowed to begin the using a pile of straw on Yom Tov. So Amar Rav Kana Zos Ameres Maschilin ba'otzer tchila. From the fact that the Tana says you're allowed to use the teven for lighting your fire, even though you didn't designate it from erev Yom Tov, and the stam baremes hateven is meant for a behema, it's not meant for using a fire. So we see Maschilin ba'otzer tchila that anything that's stored for a long time, you're allowed to begin using it for the first time in Yom Tov, even though you didn't designate it for Yom Tov use. So money, who's the Tana that holds you allowed to do such a thing? Rabbi Shimon, it must be the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who has a very, very limited definition of Muksa. And therefore, even though it took some Daito to use such an Otsar on Yom Tov, you're allowed to begin using it on Yom Tov. So Ema Seifa, Avalobe Eitzim Shem Muksa. But then the Seifa goes on to say, but you're not allowed to use the Eitzim Shem Muksa, the wood that's in your backyard. So that's a son of Rabbi Yehuda Dislay Muksa. That follows the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who does hold a stricter definition of muktza. So says Gemara, the Mishnah is really Rabbi Shimon. Hacha ba'arzi va'ashuche askinan. That when it says in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to use the Eitzim Shabbat muktza, it's not because of the Yisra muktza. It's because we're talking about certain types of wood that are used for building. To muktza machmas chesron kis, very expensive wood, that's considered muktza machmas chesron kis. Va'afilu Rabbi Shimon mode, even Rabbi Shimon is going to be mode that he doesn't hold of all of the categories of muktza, but even Rabbi Shimon holds that muktzamach maschisar and kis is an issue. That's something that you wouldn't use for something else other than its designated purpose because you don't want to lose the value of it. You don't want it to get ruined. So that he does hold is a violation of muktzah. Ikad masna seifa. Some have this diuk of Rav Kahana in connection to the seifa of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said avalo beitzim shabam muktzah. So Rav Kahana zosamer sein maschilin ba'utzer tchilas. That's Rav Kahana says. Oh, that's why we're not maschil. You don't start something that's been stored away for a long time. So money, Rabbi Yehuda, Dislay Muksas. Our Mishnah, at least the end of our Mishnah, seems to go like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a more restrictive definition, a broader definition of Muksa. He's more restricting. So Eima Reisha, but then the Reisha says Maschilin Ba'Remas Hateven. The Reisha said that you're allowed to begin in Aremas Hateven. So I saw the Rabbi Shimon. That follows Rabbi Shimon to Dislay Muksa, who has a more limited definition of Muksa and is therefore more permissive when it comes to Muksa. So answer the Gemara, no. Hasa, really the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Hasam in the Reisha of the Mishnah, when he allows you to take from the Aremas HaTeven, that's Betavna Sarya. That's talking about a rotted straw where it's not going to be roy from Machal Behemoth. So now it's Omeid Le'etim. It's Omeid LaHasaka. It's not Omeid for Achilas. Even Rabbi Yehuda would be Moda that even though it's not Huchan Mibod Yom LaHasaka, it's Stama Omeid LaHasaka, and you're allowed to use it. Tavna Sarya HaChazi Latina. But wait, you could use it for other things. You could use it to make cement, to make bricks. So this Bekotim, no, it's not good for brick making because it has thorns in it. And that's why we have to assume that its only use is going to be to start a fire, to use to light the oven, and you're allowed to do that. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, Ein noten eitzim in a sukkah. You're not allowed to take eitzim from a sukkah on Yom Tov. Now, we're talking about not on sukkahs, we're talking about any other time of the year because of the Yisr of Stiras Ohel, Elam in a samuchla. But you're allowed to take from the wood that's nearby, that's resting on the sukkah, because if you leave a lot of schach, you're allowed to take from, so if there's like piles and piles of schach on top of your sukkah, you could take from the top branches that are there. It's not considered stiras ohel, because even after you take it, you're still leaving an ohel. So if you have, let's say, mats, one mat of schach over another mat of schach, so you can take the top mat off, even though you're removing it, because you're leaving the ohel in place. So maishna min asukah delo. Why is it that you're not allowed to take from the ikr schach? That's going to be also to take to kasasar Allah, because you're being so the ohel min asamach la namika sasra Allah. When you take the upper pieces of wood, you're also being sosa the ohel. So that should also be usher to take the wood. So why is it that in the safe of the Mishnah we're matir? So even though when you take the upper pieces of wood, the lower pieces of wood still remain, and it still leaves in the ohel. But since it's all one schach, the tosefes haschach is batel to the ikur of the schach, and is considered like part of the ohel itself. So even though you're being left with an ohel when you remove the top wood, but you are being soser ohel. You're taking off that which is part of an ohel, because however much schach you put on top of the sukkah, that's all part of the ohel. So Rav Shmuel, my no, when we said that you're allowed to take it, when the Mishnah said you could take from the wood that's samuch, it doesn't mean samuch l'schach, where taka that's aser, that's stiras ohel. It means samuch l'defanos, that they would weave together reeds that they would use for walls, and if after they wove together the reeds, they had other extra pieces of wood or reeds next to the walls, so that you're allowed to take. And that's not stiras ohel, because they're not actually mechubar ledofen, they're not actually connected to the wall, so it's not batel legabe the wall. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Rabbi Nashi Amar, nah, filu tema. We might even be talking about wood that's not samuch l'defanos. We're talking about wood that's on the schach, and our Mishnah could be understood that it's not stiras ohel. When our Mishnah said it's mutter, it's only with chavilos shel kanim that are still bound together, and therefore you put them there on you put it as a bundle on the schach. So then it's clear that you're not being mevatel them to the schach, because they're still independent. You didn't just throw pieces of wood onto the schach to make the schach thicker. You took a whole bundle, a whole pile that's tied together, and you threw it on top. So even when you threw it on top, it was independent from the rest of the schach. So in such a case, it's not considered to be batel to the schach. Tanya b'chibar Yosef kamed Rabbi Yochanan, ein lotim eitzim min asukah elam min asamuchla. You're not supposed to take eitzim from the sukkah because that's stiras ohel, just from that which is samuchla. But Rabbi Shimon matir, Rabbi Shimon says you can even take from the schach itself. V'shavim v'sukah sachad b'chad shasura. But everyone holds that if it's your sukkah on sukkahs, that you're not allowed to take down the schach in the middle of Chol HaMoed because it's hooked to the mitzvasa, so you're not allowed to use it until after sukkahs is over. But if you made it tonight before the Yom Tov started, then you should be able to use the Eitzim, then a Kol Afi Tano. This is not talking about whether there's an Isser of building a sukkah, taking down a sukkah. A lot of times things happen. There's a big storm every year. There's one big wind that comes and knocks down half the sukkahs in the community. So that you're allowed to put back up. The shaila is to use it, meaning you're taking down the schach because you want to use it for firewood. You're taking down the schach, you want to use it for something else. That's what our Gemara is talking to be nana from it for something else. We said, oh, it's hooked to the mitzvah, so A lot of times people misunderstand the muktzah status of a sukkah because we're used to the term muktzah. So we say, oh, so the sukkah is muktzah, so I'm not allowed to touch it. On Yom Tov, that's true. It's that kind of muktzah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed, it's not that kind of muktzah. On Chol HaMoed, it's huktzah l'mitzvah, so you're not allowed to benefit from it. So, decoration falls down. You could put it back up on Chol HaMoed. It's huktzah l'mitzvah, so you're just not allowed to go and use it. Rabbi Shimon Matir, and then the Brayer says Rabbi Shimon allows taking even from the Atzei Aschach. So the Gemara says Vakasasra Allah, but when you take the schacha, isn't it a violation of stiras ohel? So I'm talking about a sukkah that fell on Yom Tov, so there's no isra of the malach of Soser because it's not an ohel anymore. The whole thing fell down, and the reason Tanna Kama says it's asr is because of the isra of mutza, because by Ben Hashmashos, when the sukkah was still standing, it was asr to take the wood because of stira. So now it's mutza machmas the isra of stira. So migud is katzay le Ben Hashmashos is katzay le kuliyoma. But Rabbi Shimon the Tameid, lasay mutza. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of that type of Isra Muktza, and therefore he allows taking the Atzei Aschach from the sukkah that has fallen down. Did Tanya, how do I know Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that there's such an Isra of Tiltul Muktza in such a case? Most Hashem Shabiner v'Shabi Ka'ara, if you have extra oil left over in your Ner or in your Ka'ara that you lit on Erev Shabbos, and it was lit when Shabbos began, so it's Asr, you're not allowed to use that extra oil on Shabbos, even though the Isra of Kiboy isn't there anymore. The fire is already extinguished. Ben Hashmashos, while the Ner was Dalek, it was Asr, because taking out some of that Shemin while the Ner was Dalek would have been an Isra of Kiboy, right? To take from the oil supply that's currently burning the fire is an Isra of Kiboy. So Migo, that it was his Katzai the Ben Hashmashos, it was Muktzah the Ben Hashmashos, it's Muktzah the Kuliyoma. But Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says that it's not going to be Asr. He doesn't know that there's that form of Muktzah. So you see, Rabbi Shimon knows that there's no Muktzah on something that was Muktzah Ben Hashmashos. Just because it's Muktzah Ben Hashmashos does not mean it's Muktzah for the rest of the day. Says Gemara, Mi Dami, you can compare the case of the Moser Shem Shabiner to moving the Atzei Aschach Hasam by the Ner, by the Ka'ara. Over there, it's going to, you know, the candle's going to go out. Adam Yoshev Mesapeh, Ema Saitich Benero. A person knows eventually the candle will go out, so he knows the whole time that he's going to be able to access that oil at some point. Hacha Adam Yoshev Mesapeh, Ema Saitipol Sukaso. What, a person sits there thinking that it's sukkah is going to blow over? No, everyone's so proud. They're posting on Instagram the pictures of their sukkah. They're so proud of their sukkah. They think they have the best structure in the world until Hashem sends one little wind. But no one's waiting for their sukkah to blow down. So that's a more serious form of muktzah. So you can prove that Rabbi Shimon wouldn't know the muktzah in such a case. So Rav Nachum Yitzchak kacha b'sukkah ru'uah askinan. That over here we're talking about a sukkah that's already was very weak. You were looking at it before Yantav thinking, I don't know if this is going to make it. So already on Erev Yantav, you're already thinking about potentially being able to use the pieces of wood that will come off of the sukkah when it blows over. Then the Braisa said, V'shavim b'sukkah sechag b'chag shiasura. That on the Yantav of sukkahs, the sukkah is asur. V'yimisna ala kolafi tano. But if you made it tonight, then everything could follow you tonight. Umima hani but tonight, does it tonight work to allow you to use the Atzei Asukah? Vam Rav Sheish Mishum Rabbi Kiva Minayin Latzei Sukah Shasun Kol Shiva Shnemar Chag Asukos Shivas Yom LaShem. So we darshan that all 7 days it has to be LaShem, it has to be like Hegdish, right? There was a Sukah Daf test that Kishem Shachal Shem Shemaim Al Chagig Kachal Shem Shemaim Al Asukah. So it's Kodesh for all 7 days. Vitanya, and another Brisa that also tells me that the Atzei Asukah are Kodesh for all 7 days. Rabbi Dua Mesei Rav Minayin Shekishem Shachal Shem Shemaim Al Chagig Chal Shem Shemaim Al Sukkah. Oh, here it is again. Now, how do I know that when just like Chal Shem Shemaim Al Chagiga, so too Chal Shem Shemaim Al Sukkah, Tamilomer Chag Sukkah Shivas Yom LaShem, Ma Chag LaShem, Av Sukkah LaShem. Just like Chagiga is Kadosh LaShem, so too is the Sukkah. So, how could the Braisa say that you're allowed to make a Tanai and just be Matur using the Sukkah? How could you make a Tanai? It's Kadosh. So, I'm Ramanash Bredi Rav, a Seifa Asal Nusukkah Di Alma. The Seifa is not talking about, the Seifa of the Braisa is not talking about Sukkahs. It's talking about Stam, a hut that you have. Av Sukkah the Mitzvah, lomani batana. But if it's an actual sukkah shel mitzvah, then ein achinami. You're right. The tanai is not going to work to be mafkia that kedusha. Says Mar, really? Sukkah de mitzvah lo? A tanai doesn't work on a sukkah de mitzvah? Vatanya sukkah kil chsavi itra bekramim besadin in the mitzyarin. If you made schach properly and then you decorated the sukkah with all sorts of nice begadim and decorative tapestries where the tzura is bolate, v'talabah go and you hang all sorts of fruits all over the sukkah. Those were the common decorations, that they would hang fruits all over the sukkah. They didn't have plastic fruits, so they used actual fruits. So also the stabik me'anan say yom tavachron shalchag. You're not allowed to enjoy them. You're not allowed to benefit from them until say yom tavachron vim hisna aleim hakol lefitano. But it tonight works. So Abayi v'Rav Adami Tavai, Abayi v'Rav both explain bomer eini bodu me'am kol ben hashmashos, that it's also the stabik me'am. But as far as the tonight, it's not like a sukkah. By nice sukkah, it's different, because you could say mi bod yom, I'm not bodu me'am kol ben hashmashos, that I should be able to take them throughout ben hashmashos for whatever needs I have. So since at the time of when the Yom Tov started, the Kedusha, when the Kedusha should have been Chal, you did not swear them off. You did not separate yourself from them. So Lo Chal Kedusha Alayu. So the Kedusha never hit those decorations. Aval Atzei Sukkah, the Chal Kedusha Alayu is Katsi L'Shiva. But the Atzei Sukkah is different than the decorations. That's an automatic Kedusha. U'mayishna be'ad itmar hifar shiva asogim l'shiva siyamim. Am Rav Kalachas V'achas Yotzi Bavoch li'altar. Rav Asim Kalachas V'achas Yotzi Bavoch l'machar. What if you have seven different asogim for the 7 days of Yom Tov, that we have machlokas whether after you use that day's esrog you could eat it that day, or you need to wait until the following day because it was hooked to the ben hashmashos for the entire day and you're only allowed to use it the next day. But according to everybody, it's only us for that day. So why by a sukkah do we assume we could discuss the ben hashmashos on the first day? It's muksa the whole Yom Tov. Why don't you just say that day? Now hasn mafskul leilus miyamim kol chad v'chad yom mitzvah ba'api nafshehu hachad lo mafskul leilus miyamim kol yom k'chad yom arich t'dami. The difference between esrog and sukkah is that a sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah, is day and night. So there's nothing that stops that mitzvah. That mitzvah that starts being a shmashos on the first night continues for 7 days straight. Whereas by esrog, every night the mitzvah stops. So therefore, the muktzah status is only going to go until the mitzvah stops for that day. And that's why you have machlokas. So you're allowed to benefit from that esrog mamish on that day, or you have to wait until the next day, but you don't have to wait until the end of sukkah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah on top of Laman Aleph and Aleph tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.
Have a great day.